Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine. And this week, we're going to be talking about weight loss. And weight loss is a complicated topic that a lot of people are very confused about. My guest today has had a lot of experience with the topic in general. My guest is Karen Kaufman. She has a PhD in psychology and is a licensed acupuncturist, practices in Oregon, in Astoria and in Salem. Morning, Karen.
Good morning.
And I'm sure that, I mean, a lot of what acupuncture can treat and can help, people aren't aware of, and I'm sure this is a facet that people are thinking, what? This is another thing I don't know about.
And that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Well, and the one thing I do get from my patients that I currently have, like that are in for pain management and whatnot, is a lot of times they'll just offhandedly say, are there a couple of points you can stick on me for weight loss? Or I get people that call up on the phone and are kind of aware that acupuncture is used for weight loss. But there's a lot of misconceptions that, you know, there's just some magic points you can do. And it's like taking a pill and your metabolism will take off and everything will be just fine.
So what's the origin of the idea that there is a protocol?
Well, I think it has to do with just the general principles of Chinese medicine and the idea of balance, and that it's used a lot for things like stress management, which a lot of people eat when they're stressed, and stress can cause a lot of cortisol and belly fat and things of that nature. So I think it has come out of the West based on some of the Eastern principles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what do you do?
Okay, well, let me talk a little bit first about the role, where I see the role of acupuncture in Chinese medicine and weight loss. First of all, I don't really like to talk about it as just weight loss, because there's that whole piece of maintaining your weight once you take some of it off. So I prefer to call it weight management.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you know, and there's even a problem with that term, weight.
Sure.
I mean, right? Lose your leg, you're going to lose weight, you know, or starve yourself, you will lose weight, but most of the weight would be water and muscle. So we want to lose fat.
Right. When we're going to have to come up with a term for that.
Right.
But basically, the idea with acupuncture is that it's an adjunct to a weight loss program. It can assist people. It can support them through the process. It will not cause you to lose weight by itself. There are no magic points. Weight loss, as you said earlier, is a multifaceted problem. There's lots of complicated behaviors involved. And the solution is, I wouldn't say it's complicated, but it's multifaceted as well.
Definitely.
So we have to look not only at using the Chinese medicine, but also at diet, exercise, and lifestyle, and including stress management. And these are all things that I cover in a session, which I'll get to later.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't by itself cause you to lose weight, but it can make it easier for you to lose and maintain your weight.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a strong relationship between people that are stressed out and people that have too much body fat?
Sure.
Okay.
And, well, stress affects it in a number of ways. One, biochemically, we all hear about the belly fat involved with too much cortisol, and that's a stress hormone. But also, when you're stressed out, you're not as mindful of what you're doing, your behaviors.
It's harder to make good choices when you're stressed out.
Right. It's harder to plan ahead, which you need to do to eat well. And a lot of times when you're stressed, you just want that hit of sugar or the hit of caffeine.
You know, there's that other thing, which is that I learned from Dr. Rady, which is when you're stressed out, the part of the brain that gets glucose is not the cortex. It is the primitive brain. The amygdala gets the glucose, and so it's the reactive brain. So, of course, you're going to go for the quick, immediate fix.
Feed me.
The part that would make a rational decision is not even functional. So if our blood sugar is high, that's going to promote that. Mm-hmm. And if we're really stressed out.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's...
So, should I talk about the just the ways that acupuncture can help?
Absolutely.
As the adjunct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, we've mentioned stress. A lot of people have a lot of stress, frustration, and anxiety that might accompany overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a neurochemical involved with that. Usually serotonin is low. And endorphins sometimes, the feel-good chemical, we're trying to pump that up. So one of the things that the research is starting to show in acupuncture is that it modulates neurotransmitters, and it will usually help boost your endorphins and your serotonin level. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously if you feel good, you can mm-hmm. make better choices.
Sure.
Be more relaxed.
And also it can affect cravings. So there's certain points that you can do that will actually help sugar cravings and help curb the appetite a little bit. And these are just points that have been learned from use over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are the same points that we use for cravings that are associated with addictions. The other thing that can be helpful is acupuncture can affect the digestive system. So a lot of people mm-hmm. have many imbalances. They have acid reflux or they have constipation. And when you think about it as a balance, you hear about fight or flight with the stress, and then its counterpart is rest and digest. So if you're very stressed out and you're in fight or flight, then the rest and digest part usually isn't working so well.
If at all.
If at all, sure.
Right.
Another thing, a more indirect way, is a lot of times people that are carrying extra weight are in a lot of pain. And so acupuncture obviously can help with the pain management, and that usually will make it easier then for people to get up and around and be motivated to exercise.
Oh, that's a whole other twist on it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, because people have an accident. They can't. Initially they can't do anything because they hurt too much to move, and then they add weight, and then they don't have enough energy to move,
mm-hmm.
and then they're stressed out, and then they're feeling bad about themselves for not moving, and it's kind of this downward spiral. And right, you stop the pain cycle and encourage people to go, you know, mm-hmm. get out, let's start walking, let's start swimming, something, get moving, and you start dialing back that.
Right,
so whatever reduces the pain. I'm not talking about drugs, not covering it up, but actually fixing it, making the pain go away.
Well, a lot of times people that are in a lot of pain, they just can't make right choices either about food. And they just want everything to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, too, people feel better when they get out moving. Most of the time, people have certain imbalances that acupuncture can help with to move energy around and boost the energy, but then that can work in tandem with exercise. And the last thing that I think acupuncture is good for in the whole weight management loss, whatever we're calling it, issue is you're making a commitment. You're doing something for yourself in a major way. We're talking cognitive dissonance here. I'm going in, and in addition to all these things I'm doing for myself to lose weight, I'm also letting someone stick me with needles. And a lot of that goes a long way towards that. It's a level of commitment. And I don't think that part should be shortchanged.
Okay, well, now that you bring that up, we should talk about that. A lot of times people think, who haven't had an experience with acupuncture, they think of a hypodermic needle, you know, the 2-foot-long thing with the big nurse who looks mean, and they're going to jab the, and more than one, you're going to get a whole bunch of these in your body, and that is just scary. Mm-hmm. And so obviously it's not like that at all.
Are you saying I don't look mean?
Okay, maybe you look mean. Maybe you look mean, but the needles are teeny, weeny, weeny, thin, mm-hmm. thin, thin. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you don't feel anything when they go in.
Right. And I think the other thing about thinking it's a hollow hypodermic needle is people think there's a lot of blood associated with it. And that's what always blew my mind when I first had acupuncture, was that people could be piercing your skin with needles and they'd pull them out.
And there's no blood.
No blood at all.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, depending on...
Uh-huh. But mostly not.
Right.
Yeah. Most of the places you don't have. I've had extensive acupuncture in, I don't know. Every once in a while, there's one when it comes out, there's a little blood.
Mm-hmm. And in Chinese medicine, we always say that's releasing heat.
All right. Well, that sounds fine. I know it's profoundly relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to say that anything that's relaxing has got to be good for your general health, which will probably turn into making better choices and leading to the potential of weight management.
Well, I also think that a lot of people don't sleep well, and there's been some research linking poor sleep with weight gain.
Oh, you've well, it's the cortisol thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, pretty much everybody over 50 sleeps worse than they did when they were younger. And so, I mean, when you look at what's happening in our population, you know, our stress levels are going up, and everybody's gaining weight, and everybody's sleeping worse. And it sort of all feeds into bigger, fatter, less healthy, more heart attacks.
Sure.
So does acupuncture help people sleep?
Oh, it's very good for that. And
okay,
usually,
speak about that.
Usually after a first session, that's one of the things people will tell me the next session. I'll say, how did it go after the first session? And they say, you're not going to believe this, but I slept so well that night, and I haven't done that in a long time. Uh-huh. And again, it's a matter of balance. It's trying to get the body into balance. So resting at night, when that's when yin takes over, and that's the resting, calming, kind of coolant part of the cycle.
Are you saying we're all too hot and revved up?
I think that a lot of us are.
I think we are. What about on the table? I mean, the needles go in and I just go out. I'm asleep then. I mean, maybe I sleep better later, but mm-hmm. People say, well, what do you do while the needles are in? I said, I don't do anything. I just go to sleep.
Well, a lot of people do go to sleep, and they're always surprised, and they sometimes think they're the only person that happens to. You'll never believe what happened to me. And that's always fun.
Well, and I don't try to go to sleep. It just happens.
Right. And then some people don't, but they go into kind of a delicious altered state that is a very good place to get to.
Right. It's definitely altered. It's very relaxing. And it seems to me that anything that causes you to feel that way is worth pursuing,
mm-hmm.
weight or no weight issues. All right. So people sleep better. They're more relaxed. They're stressed down. Their cortisol levels are down. Have people done any research measuring cortisol, like before and after acupuncture? Are there studies?
Cortisol is very difficult to measure in any kind of stress research. There's a lot of research going on about how hard it is. you have to measure it several times during a day, and cortisol has a certain look during the day. It peaks at a certain time, and then it's supposed to fall down at a certain time, and people's cortisol, the slope that they're supposed to have, can be really screwed up when they're stressed out. But a lot of the research right now is just very hard to do with cortisol.
Just because it's hard to measure it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Now, a lot of people measure it with saliva?
Sure.
Is that the best way?
Yeah. And, well, there's blood measurements too, but usually saliva. So when you wake up in the morning, you have to do one measurement, and then you have to do one mid-morning and one later in the day. And it's very difficult to get people to do that.
Okay, so you collect a bunch of spits, and then they get analyzed, and you get a chart.
Sure.
And you look at it.
Right. And so it's not just a matter of whether it's high or low. It's a matter of
what's it doing?
What's it doing during mm-hmm. the day?
Is it high at the right times? Is it low at the right times?
Right.
Or is it too high all the time?
Right.
Is that something you think people should do who are totally wigged out?
What, have their cortisol measured?
Yeah.
Not really so much.
Okay.
I think they...
So when would it be appropriate?
I think in a general workup, it might be appropriate. And that would be something more that you would do with a naturopath.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of many other people doing that. It sounds like a cool thing to know about oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think if one knows that one's in balance, they probably wouldn't be... Why would you do it?
Exactly.
But if you have issues, you can't mm-hmm. sleep, you've gotten fat, you feel terrible, mm-hmm. maybe you have other problems, other health problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, whatever, those
well,
kind of things.
It's all the endpoints of what you're measuring. I mean, most people care about, you know, the result. So if you're trying to lose weight, they care about, you know, do I feel better? Is my weight coming down?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care what their, you know, cortisol level is, what their blood sugar is, even as long as they're feeling well. So I try to just focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more. If you want to get in on this conversation, if you have a question for Karen Kaufman, something about acupuncture, something about weight loss, something you'd like to add, give us a call here, 503-325-0010. And you are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Karen Kaufman, and she is a licensed acupuncturist. We're back. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Dr. Karen Kaufman. She is has a PhD in psychology and is a licensed acupuncturist in Oregon. And we're talking about acupuncture and weight loss. Okay, so let's talk about what happens when somebody comes in and they want to do this.
Okay, let me walk you through some of the things I do. It's a very multifaceted session, and it takes into account all of my background and experience. So I'm going to be looking at people's kind of thought processes, their goals, their meaning. And so we usually start there. You know, I have people come in and I'll ask them, you know, how much weight are you thinking you would like to lose? And, you know, so for one thing, I want to look at a realistic goal to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody comes in and they're 250 pounds and they want to lose 100 pounds, that's fine over the long haul, but we want to set up a intermediate goal, which is usually 10 to 15% of the original body weight. So that's a realistic goal, and a lot of times people are not too happy with that, but it's a place to start. Mm-hmm. And research usually shows that by taking 10 to 15% of your body weight off, you can start having physical health changes, and your appearance will start mm-hmm. changing.
Absolutely. And what about, how do you take into account past weight loss, you know?
You mean the yo-yo dieting?
Or what other, you know, what people have done? I've had a person tell me on Friday, oh, she's been on a million diets and has always gained weight back after she's been on. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
I want to look at people's history that way. Mm-hmm. So I look at what are their goals, and not just the pounds, but why do they want to lose the weight? And usually people will say, so I'm healthier, or so I can fit into a dress for the wedding, you know, coming up. And so, you know, I pack that away because we may need to talk more about that. I talk about what are the obstacles been in the past. Mm. So we start working with that right away. Mm-hmm. What would the meaning be for them of being slimmer? You know, mm-hmm. what would that be like? Because a lot of times people think, oh, you know, I'll lose this weight and then I'll heal my marriage or something like that. So I want to have people have realistic expectations about that right mm-hmm. from the get-go. Then we do a detailed intake to really pinpoint where the problems lie. So behaviorally, you know, why do you think you have problems with weight? Is it you have sugar cravings? Do you eat when you're stressed? Are you just hungry all the time? Do you have what we would consider gnawing hunger? Are you just busy and making poor food choices?
Forgetting to eat.
Right. What are some of the things? And so we look at that. And part of the detailed intake then is I will send people home for a week to do a food diary. And you are familiar with that. So write down everything you eat for the next week.
And drink.
And sometimes more detailed, too, but that's usually about as detailed as people can get. But sometimes you can have them put, you know, what prompted them to eat, how they felt afterwards, but usually we don't do that. We want to give people a manageable amount of things to do. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the behavioral and cognitive kinds of things mm-hmm. that we do. And then from a Chinese point of view, I want to get a picture of what the underlying imbalances are according to Chinese medicine. So besides looking at health history and other health issues, I'll look at their pulse and their tongue. And a lot of times what we'll find is they have something called stomach heat, and that's usually the gnawing hunger. They're just hungry, ravenous all the time, and they usually have a lot of other heat signs. They look kind of flushed, maybe. They might have some heartburn. And they're just hungry, and a lot of times we want to just cool down that stomach heat. People might have low energy. We get that from the intake, and it might be poor digestion. Lots of stress, as I've said in previous shows, usually affects the liver. One thing I'll ask people, a lot of people are, and you know this too, are not hungry in the morning. They wake up in the morning, and sometimes they don't eat till noon or 1, and they say, I'm just not hungry in the morning. And that tells me there's a certain kind of an imbalance too. So I'm taking all of that into account. So I'm really blending East and West that way.
It sounds like a great blend.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, I'm coming up with a plan. So, and the plan will inevitably involve acupuncture. It'll involve a lot of diet counseling and a lot of stress management. So as far as the acupuncture goes, we use an ear protocol. So there's lots of points on the outer ear, and some of them we'll deal with satiety. How do you say that word? Satiety.
Yeah, satiety, yeah, being and, satisfied,
and
being
right,
full.
Right, and fullness, so to try to tinker with that, and some for more for sedation, for anxiety, and to reset the fight or flight response. A lot of people are constantly in fight or flight, and that, as we have been saying, has a whole host of problems with it. So the ear acupuncture, and then I will usually do some body acupuncture too, and try to address any other health issues, so pain, things like that. And usually if there's a whole bunch of other health issues, we have to kind of tackle them one by one. We can't mm-hmm. really do everything at once. Then the diet counseling, a lot of that has to do with what I get off of their food diary and from talking to them. And you know this too, get a lot of people who say, I know what to do, mm-hmm. I just haven't been doing it, or I really do eat healthy and I don't eat that much. And lo and behold, you look at their food diary, and sometimes they aren't eating enough at certain times of the day. Mm-hmm. And what we have been told is a really healthy kind of breakfast is very high glycemic, and it causes insulin surges and crashing and all that kind of stuff. So for example, someone has a glass of orange juice, a bowl of cereal, and a banana. That's very, very high. So I try to work with them on really stoking the engine and to provide weight loss and to keep people kind of balanced and level during the day. So mm-hmm. that's a big part of it. Stress management, I might do breathing exercises with them. There's certain breathing exercises that will reset the fight or flight and balance it with rest and digest. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We can do exercises in mindfulness. So a lot of people, they don't even know they're eating. They're just sitting there talking to somebody. I guess they like to talk with their mouth full. Or they're watching TV.
Or they're driving.
Right, and they're just, you know, shoveling food in. And so a mindfulness exercise will really have people focus on all the sensations involved with chewing, swallowing, and just appraising your food before you even eat it. So a lot of those kinds of things. And herbs, sometimes Chinese herbs, especially if people have stomach heat, there's some herbs that will calm that down pretty well. Sometimes people need herbs for stress, sometimes not. And it just depends. Everything is done on an individual basis. But there are some commonalities that we see across things, mm-hmm. things people tell me, and imbalances that people have that are trying to lose weight.
So a lot of us have things in common with the sure. with our patterns of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the same health problems with people that are, or similar health problems with people that are overweight?
A lot of joint pain, a lot of stiffness, just people feeling achy. And I think a lot of that has to do with tinkering with the diet and getting that better. There's a lot of foods that are pro-inflammatory, and trying to kind of cut those out and tinker with that can really make a world of difference.
You know, it's interesting that the typical American diet is very inflammatory. And when you talk with people about that have never heard of that, it blows their mind. They can't think that what they think is a healthy diet is actually making their joints hurt, because it's not like the opposite of taking Advil. Mm-hmm. You don't eat a bagel and your joints hurt in 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to connect.
Right. And these are cumulative habits, too, that are that are really hard to break. One of the things I really try to press on people is eating lots and lots and lots of vegetables, which are carbs, by the way.
Right. And they're carbs that help you manage your
right.
weight in
a
good way.
They take away the inflammation. And I try to get people really to eat more vegetables and protein in the morning. So not starting the day revving up the whole sugar machine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that I certainly feel better when I do that. I mean, our favorite breakfast is a whole bunch of stir-fried veggies with eggs.
Right. And a lot of people just can't stand the thought of that in the morning. But once they can turn the corner to that, I've seen people really start eating vegetables and actually liking them. Of course, there's always ones you don't like. Lima beans.
That's not even a vegetable. That's a legume. Come
okay.
on. Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to like that.
You don't have to like you know, you can have ones you don't like, but usually it's a matter of getting people started with all of this. And I find that acupuncture is kind of a lever to work your way into that.
I think that's great. So if people are nervous but curious, what do you think would be a first step?
I think a first step would be to call me or to arrange a time to come by. And I can be reached at 503-298-8815.
And then they could just talk to you.
Right. And a lot of times what alleviates all of the stress in the world is to just see one of these puny little needles. Oh, that's what it is?
Right. About the size of a hair.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty little.
Yeah.
I suppose they do come in larger sizes, but that's not the usual in America, right? Not too many big ones.
Well, I mean, they usually vary in length. But again, it just depends on what you're pushing the needle through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to push it through more muscle and so forth, then you need a longer needle.
Okay, now don't the needles usually just go in the subcutaneous, under the skin?
It depends.
Okay, so sometimes they go actually into the muscle.
They do. I treat a lot of sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
And sciatica, I use one of the longer needles because it's going in the rump. And you need to get in there and make contact with the area around the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And I have amazing results with that.
But the needle, even though it's longer, it's not a bigger diameter.
It's still not like a hypodermic needle.
Right. All right. Well, any closing thoughts?
Well, again, I think that weight loss is a very complicated process. And if you're motivated, I think that takes you a long way into the whole journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think acupuncture is one thing to try if some of the other things aren't working. But again, acupuncture alone is not going to make you lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll throw in a few ear points for people as a side order of like, here, let's try to reduce some of your sugar cravings. But in general, that's not a person that's really motivated yet, because they're just wanting the magic point. And our medicine is not the magic bullet for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we really work on changing people. And it's been a delight for me to see the shift in people when they really do shift and start doing things. And sometimes it's just a slight shift. And I had one gal who wasn't tremendously overweight, but really was feeling sluggish and wanted to take some weight off. And I had her do a cleanse, and that's a whole nother program. And we did acupuncture, and then she started eating more vegetables and lean protein. And she came back and said, I mean, she came back several times, and the very last time I saw her, she said, you know what, I've lost 16 pounds. I feel better than I have in years, and my husband is eating this way now, and he's lost 25. So a lot of times it will radiate, lifestyle changes will radiate into the family, and that's certainly something that we'd like to see.
And that's awesome. All right. So you have been listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm in with Dr. Karen Kaufman, who is a licensed acupuncturist. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thanks, Ann.
It's been fun.